producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Show. We toss around with our pals from Talk Radio News. Justin Zuckham was at the White House for everything that happened with the Pope, and of course, this is the first leg of his journey in Washington, D.C. So, Justin, tell us what that was like.
Well, it was very interesting. We had about 11,000 people coming to the White House and South Lawn to try to get a glimpse of the Pope. This was a crowd that went beyond just Catholics. This was a crowd that drew in people of all faiths who were really hoping to get a glimpse of somebody who has really become a globally respected figure beyond just the limits of his own church. And it was, a feeling of being part of history for a lot of people. This was the first time the Pope has traveled to America, not just in his capacity as the head of the church, but as an individual as well. And this really kicked off a very jubilant moment. You know, following the remarks at the White House, there was a parade in D.C., This brought a lot of people out of our offices to check out the scene. And Talk Radio News was actually kind of lucky. At around lunchtime, the Pope deviated from his parade route and drove right by our office when we were all outside. And we got to get a quick little glimpse of his black Fiat Pope mobile as he drove by and waved to people.
You gotta love that. What about the security in D.C.? A lot was made about, you know, gosh, this is the Pope who likes to get out of the Pope mobile. He likes to be among the people. And Homeland Security Director, the Secretary of Homeland Security, Jay Johnson, was concerned about that. They had all kinds of practices for scenarios. Was the security pretty tight? I can only imagine.
Yeah, I mean, they're saying that this is probably three times more secure than D.C. generally is in terms of law enforcement presence and in terms of the funding that's going in for it for this week. And that certainly was apparent. You know, at the mass yesterday, which was an open-air mass, there was a wide selection of law enforcement all over. There was ATF, there was TSA agents checking people as they entered into the, Basilica's courtyard. And we have seen that pretty much all over D.C. There's been a lot of just sort of armed law enforcement just sort of milling around. And it sort of looks almost like Baltimore to a certain extent in the sense that they're, an armed presence nearly everywhere you go. In terms of traffic and in terms of the crowds that people were expecting, that's been a little bit overplayed. The traffic has actually been pretty decent, primarily because a lot of people are going home or staying home, rather, to telecommute. And a lot of people are also just trying to avoid the metro. And as a result, that has made a crowd situation a lot more bearable for people who are trying to go. I actually went on the metro last night to the mass, which is held in my neighborhood, usually a pretty sleepy area. It was very jubilant, very big, but in terms of the metro size, it was nothing near what a lot of people were expecting.
Oh, I bet. So the Pope, that the whole thing with the Pope is going on, obviously, and in the meantime, it hasn't been completely shoved onto the so-called back pages, but what's happening as far as government shutdown and the budget, and is John Boehner going to really kind of swing that gavel, so to speak, to make that happen?
Well, right now, it doesn't look like there's really a way to move forward. There is a vote in the Senate to try to keep the Planned Parenthood defunding measure separate from government funding at large, but that's likely not going to appease anybody in the House. There's been a lot of people who have been, dragging their feet, saying that they're going to balk unless the Planned Parenthood is defunded and not support any legislation that moves forward with a clean sort of funding measure, and they've been pretty adamant about that. As, we wrap up the days until September 30th, the budget deadline that we have, nobody's really put forward any compromise. We have seen a number of freshman Republican lawmakers calling for a stopgap measure, but the appetite for that doesn't necessarily seem to be very widely shared, considering stopgaps are usually just sort of kicking the can down the road. So what it's going to look like, I can't really guarantee, but I can tell you that the White House is planning for a government shutdown. They said as much yesterday. They said that it would be prudent to do so and that they are restricting senior staff from leaving Washington, D.C. during this period of time on the off chance that they could possibly step in and help resolve the budget impasse.
Yeah. I wouldn't be having you on the show if we weren't at least talking about the Republicans, right, and who was going to drop off or what was going to happen, because it seems like we're always talking about that. So Scott Walker is out. Who do you think goes next? What's the speculation?
That's a very good question. I think it's probably going to be one of the lower-tier candidates. You know, at this point, we have, you know, Santorum, Pataki, Gilmore, and Jindal. Any of those could be somebody who could drop out. I know I've predicted, I think, on your show a couple of times that Rick Santorum is probably going to be the next one to drop out, considering he hasn't really gotten much attention this entire campaign season, despite being one of the more prominent of the lower-tier candidates. Chris Christie's campaign also seems to be in trouble. There was a spark of hope after the debate performance that he delivered, particularly among his campaign staff, but that doesn't necessarily seem to be you know, translating very well in terms of the polls. So he's somebody who's also, you know, going to be watched pretty heavily as this develops. And if people heed Scott Walker's call, they could see a lot more leaving. You know, he essentially made the case that more people need to leave the race need to, you know, leave in order to help solidify support around one candidate who's not Donald Trump. Who that candidate's going to be remains to be seen. Jeb Bush certainly isn't dropping out. Marco Rubio has indicated you know, both publicly and behind the scenes, that he is essentially going to stay in this to win this. He's essentially waiting at this point for everybody else to fizzle out before he gets a decent shake from the Republican Party at large. So it's anybody's game right now in terms of who's the next person, but there certainly are a bunch of candidates who would probably be wise to do so, considering, you know, how poorly they've done in the polls.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting in watching this whole Donald Trump thing. What are the political insiders saying? Do they think that Trump is just going to hang around for real? He's just going to go into all these primaries, not going anywhere now at this point?
I mean, there was a lot of surprise when Trump initially entered, and there was immediate speculation that he was probably going to drop out after the first debate, you know, months before that happened, once he was required to file a financial disclosure statement. That hasn't been true, and all of the you know, sort of speculation about his momentum stopping or him losing support has thus far proven to be false. You know, we expected him to essentially grind to a halt when he made his John McCain remarks. We expected him to suffer from the remarks he made on immigration. And now, according to new polls, he's still continuing to lead, even though some candidates are moving within striking distance. But it certainly is too soon for a lot of people to write his political obituary. And just judging from his character, you know, from his you know, kind of brash attitude, I'd be surprised to see him leave before he absolutely has to.
Yeah, and you have to sit by and kind of chuckle about what's happening with this whole thing with Fox. Have you been following that now on Twitter he's saying he's not going to do Fox anymore? That's it. He's boycotting them. Wonder how long that'll last.
Yeah, I mean, this is he's done this a couple times, and he's going to stop doing interviews with Fox, and he's going to move away from there. You know, they have a pretty, it's a pretty troubled relationship between Fox and Trump. Trump continues to claim that, you know, they absolutely need him. Fox is, you know, essentially brushing this off as just another sort of Trumpism. But, you know, this is a luxury that only Donald Trump could afford, somebody who has shown that he doesn't necessarily need any outside financial support, nor does he really need support from the, you know, media establishment, it looks like. He has his own way of generating headlines. And whether or not he, you know, loses the network, I don't think that's going to necessarily help him.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Always great. Thanks so much, Justin. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Attention, all men. Are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Are you having a slower, weaker stream? Don't ignore the warning signs of your aging prostate. Get your free bottle of Super Beta Prostate. Super Beta Prostate is guaranteed to support a more complete emptying of your bladder, a fuller, stronger stream, and less waking at night to urinate.
Super Beta Prostate is a product that I really like. I endorse it. I use it myself. I was very pleasantly surprised that Super Beta Prostate helped me fairly quickly.
Super Beta Prostate is formulated with a natural plant enzyme called beta-sitosterol. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 Sol Palmetto pills to get the same sterols as just one Super Beta Prostate tablet. Don't ignore the warning signs of your aging prostate. Call now to get your free bottle of Super Beta Prostate. Call 1-800-853-1203. That's 1-800-853-1203. 800-853-1203.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Welcome to America Tonight. Each and every show, we kick it around with our pals from Talk Radio News. Luke Vargas, always a treat to have him on. He joins us from New York. He covers the UN. Hey, Luke, how are you?
I'm great, thanks.
So the big news, as you know, is, and coming to New York, is the Pope, who right now is in Washington. But so far we haven't heard too much from the Pope. And it's interesting, you sent me a note, and we also have China's president on the West Coast. So what an intriguing time, I think, to be in either place or be in either one of these two for two different kinds of visits. So what have we learned so far from either one of these visits?
Not much from the Pope yet. The action to watch Wednesday from the Pope, because Thursday he'll actually go in front of Congress. He'll speak in English. Today he is going to huddle with bishops. And I spent most of Monday interviewing various advocacy groups on behalf of those who were abused by Catholic priests around the country. And they were very pointed in saying, look, we praise the Pope for the things he says about climate or income inequality or the poor, but he speaks about those issues because speaking about them is all he can do within his power. But they say the Vatican is a monarchy, and the Pope has virtually limitless power to be able to actually take steps to address the sex abuse crisis. And there is not a lot of optimism that he will take them. But the call going out this week is that they want him to take a global view of this, say there is zero tolerance for abuse on the Catholic Church around the world. They've already proclaimed zero tolerance in the U.S., but that's not the case. Many countries around the world where the power differential, if you will, between priests and parishioners is even greater than it is in the United States. And they want the Pope to declare in the United States that bishops should be forced, as I believe 30 of them have already done, to put online the names of the publicly identified abusing priests. So again, they say these are actions he can take, but they are worried that his rhetorical gifts will allow him to sort of paint a picture of a much more rosy view of the church than they believe it deserves.
Wow, interesting. So we'll pay attention, obviously, to that. And then later in the week, the UN address. There must be massive expectations for that.
There are, and no pope has ever addressed the United Nations in this capacity, so it's sort of unprecedented. I won't get a chance to sit in on the address to Congress, but I will be there at the United Nations address. It's not during the regular General Assembly. It's for the signing of the Sustainable Development Goals, which are a 15-year bunch of development targets, everything from hunger to various health issues that the world is trying to agree on Sunday. So he's there to rally excitement for that. But again, I think the thing to watch from the Pope, and I don't think it's necessarily a political issue, though it's talked about as one, is climate change. Here's something where he sees eye to eye with President Obama on, and you can expect, at least compared to the sort of tight-lipped nature of the Pope's visit to Cuba, where he disappointed some by not speaking out more against the Castros, you could expect him to be more candid here in the United States with, I would guess, the blessing, if you want to call it that, of President Obama to do so.
All right, so we move now to politics of a different sort. Hillary Clinton, it was announced, or she announced yesterday, we talked about this on my show, that she was opposed to the Keystone XL pipeline. She hadn't talked about it for years. Why did she suddenly open that Pandora's box?
It seems to be very political. The polling really shows, and Pew polling indicates that the only political group in the United States that actually opposes the Keystone Pipeline in significant numbers are solid liberals, as Pew calls them, who are opposed, overwhelmingly, about 60-20%. And the other, groups here are much more in favor of this, but it's those solid liberals that she's been struggling with. And you look at the constituents that Bernie Sanders has been targeting, even Martin O'Malley has basically since the inception of his campaign, and he does have more, I guess, political room to be able to make those proclamations, but has been very much opposed to Keystone. So Clinton starting to align herself a little bit more with those solid liberals that she really desperately needs. But again, I mean, it seems a little strange. She has previously maintained very forcefully that she must remain on the sidelines on the issue of Keystone because to avoid complicating basically the decision-making process that she had been directly involved in. So again, that argument seems to be sort of bunk now because she, hasn't waited for a decision from state or the White House, before making her own views known. So sort of, I would say, an unabashedly political decision here.
And another Hillary Clinton deal, and of course this has been the big deal with Hillary, and she's going to talk to Congress about Benghazi, we know, et cetera, October 22nd. But the FBI has said that they found Hillary Clinton's private emails that her staff claimed that they deleted. So, wow, what do we know about these new reports?
This is a Bloomberg scoop, and it's currently sitting sort of on the second page of the headlines. I think that will probably change throughout the course of this week. I'm sure there will be more people from this investigation, if this Bloomberg report is leading us towards the truth, who will want to speak out and clarify what's actually happening here. But according to Bloomberg, the FBI investigators who were probing to figure out why there were classified emails on her private server, even within those 30,000 emails that were released pertaining to work, they were scouring around the server and they found a portion or all, we don't know exactly what percent, of those emails that were supposedly deleted, those private ones. We believe they are now going through those emails. And look, on one hand, the fact that these emails have been found, the fact that this could maybe happen a little bit earlier, that this discovery isn't a late-breaking discovery in the campaign, could work to Ms. Clinton's advantage. But again, it's really the contents that matter here. You can be sure that if the word Benghazi turns up once, even in a private conversation that doesn't have anything really to do with politics, that this is going to be another severe trial for Ms. Clinton. So again, this is a Bloomberg report. It has not been corroborated by other sources, but if true and if confirmed, this will open up the new chapter in the Hillary Clinton email debate, and it will probably be a long and exhausting one. These have not been, unlike the work emails, which were already sort of pre-sorted by her staff, and some had been handed over to committees for months. These private emails, these 30,000 or so, are completely unedited. So it will begin probably a multi-month-long process of searching through them, FOIAing them, if and when the FBI will confirm that they actually have them. This is not going away.
Boy, no kidding. And we just have a minute or so left, but I have to ask you this about Russia and this airfield that popped up in Syria from the satellite images. Wow. So now that's two additional military bases. What is going on with Russia and Syria?
Well, you know, I will say there are a few things fueling this. The first is that the Russian military is ready. They've been on sort of a war footing with Ukraine, and they've got lots of equipment. They need some place to send it. The second is that the Assad-Russian alliance is very strong still. Putin has been a steadfast backer of Assad since the beginning of the Arab Spring, and that hasn't changed. And the third is that the U.S. strategy to combat the Islamic State seems to be floundering, and it's pushed Assad against the fences. You know, the little progress that the U.S. has had has primarily forced various terrorist groups, including al-Nusra and the Islamic State, further west, which is right into Assad territory. So they put in the call to Russia. These three bases are being built. And unfortunately, I think this is a trap for the United States. A lot of the Russian weaponry going to Syria would not actually be useful against the Islamic State. It's anti-aircraft, anti-drone weaponry that you think is sort of a provocation to the West and the United States. Either join us in helping to defeat the Islamic State in a Russian-led coalition, or in a very real way, risk American lives in the continued American-led coke campaign in Syria. So again, I'm viewing this quite cynically, but Russia is all in a way that we have not, or do not seem to be willing to be able to go.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. All right, Luke Vargas, thanks so much. As always, we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Take care.
And as Luke said, I think I agree with him. I think that Syria-Russia thing is very big. And, of course, we're not going as far. But ultimately, what does that mean for Russia? And why are they doing that? And it's quite obvious. And then we certainly know what's happening with the relationship that Putin has with Assad, without a doubt. And there were some interesting other things that Luke threw out there, including, you know, in talking about the Pope and how people are responding to his stance on priests and abuse and what the expectations are for that, and will anything come of that this week in the United States. And I agree with Luke. I don't think we're going to really, I think those people are not going to get what they're hoping they'll get from the Pope, but we'll see, because it's kind of close to the vest. We haven't heard a lot about what the Pope is actually going to talk about. All right, hang with us. Much more coming your way next on America Tonight.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
If you're like me, you're concerned about the stock market and the economy. You're asking the questions, but it just doesn't seem that you're getting the right answers. Well, my friends at the Wealth Preservation Institute not only have the answers, but they put together a free report, How to Survive the Upcoming Economic Collapse and Protect Your 401ks, IRA Savings, and Retirement Income. Don't hesitate. This report's for free for a limited time by calling 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. Take back your financial lives today.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number, 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional and installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lung. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Most of us already know that taking a fish oil supplement to boost omega-3s is a good idea. But did you know that about 60% of Americans are actually deficient in omega-3s? Did you know that most fish oil products contain only about 25% omega-3s and the remaining 75% is undesirable fish fat? Heck, did you know that more than 90% of fish oil supplements sold in the USA are not even made here? If you want to boost your omega-3s using the finest American-made fish oil, check out Nutrigold Fish Oil Supplements on www.fishoil.best. Nutrigold fish oils are independently 5-star certified and guaranteed to be exceptionally pure. That means no more fish burps. Best of all, just one Nutrigold fish oil capsule contains more omega-3s than 4 standard fish oil capsules. Go to www.fishoil.best or call 888-920-1497 and use promo code BESTFISHOIL to get a free 1-month supply. That's www.fishoil.best or call 888-920-1497.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey system. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting GoBerkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
Common good also includes the earth, a central theme of the encyclical, which I recently wrote in order to enter into the dialogue with all people about our common home. We need a conversation which includes everyone, since the environmental challenge we are undergoing and its human roots concern and affect us all.
That was the Pope in front of a joint group in Congress today talking about climate change. Did you understand what he said? He's talking about going green, that we have to look at the environment and the concerns pretty much. There was a lot of reaction to the Pope, and you might have heard little tidbits. If you haven't, we're going to throw them at you throughout the rest of the show. Hope you had a great day and a great week as we head into and through yet another weekend. Can you believe it? We're almost into October. Hard to believe. I know it seems like I say this every time we turn the page on the calendar, but what happened to 2015? Suddenly, 2016 is becoming really, really real to me. I don't know about the rest of you. All right, so here was the reaction to the Pope, just in general. Senator Ron Johnson said the Pope's speech was pretty inspiring. Now, when he came through to go and speak to Congress, nobody was allowed to shake his hand or slap him on the back or do any of the things that you do when the president has a State of the Union. Now, that's the coveted thing to do. If you listen to this show, you've heard Bob Ney, the former congressman from Ohio, say how he sat very close to the aisle one time for almost 4 hours and didn't move because he wanted to make sure he got that TV spot, knowing that people were going to be watching. So Ron Johnson said that Pope Francis' speech to Congress was definitely inspiring, that it led him to focus on the areas of agreement. And he said, we need to respect our differences and our convictions of conscience. And then you had others who expressed their like of what the Pope had to say. Johnson, who chairs the Senate Homeland Security Committee, underscored the Pope's comments about Islamic jihad. He said, it's really what we have to face and we have to confront. It's evil. Obviously, Christianity is a religion of love and peace. I'm a Christian myself. John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, was so moved and is a Catholic that you could tell he was fighting back those tears. He was fighting it. His lips started to quiver, and then it was like a fountain that overflowed. While meeting with the Pope in a private meeting, and as he addressed Congress, he teared up within minutes after the Pope started that historic address, because this is historic. So he got to shake hands with him, he got to meet him for a second, and then he was, of course, sitting right behind him as he was speaking. Pope Francis told Boehner that his green tie was a symbol of the color of hope. And Boehner said back to him, we need a lot of hope from today, Pope. So, you know, the speaker, like I said, who is a devout Catholic, has been inviting popes, including Francis, to visit Congress for several years. And that is the first time that this has happened during the time that he's been Speaker of the House. You know, his nickname, by the way, is Weeper of the House. But it was that kind of moment for a lot of people, to be sure. And as we move along, we will talk more about the Pope. The Pope, who is in New York City, and then he's going to Philadelphia, and then he is out of the U.S. He has definitely moved certainly a lot of people. He's tried to speak with as many people as he can along the way. And, of course, it can be difficult since guarding the Pope is the number one concern of anybody who matters security-wise in the United States, because certainly we don't want anything to happen to him while he's in the U.S., and the more he's exposed, the whole open-air thing, the riskier that becomes. It's getting interesting when journalists tread into the territory of interviewing world leaders who hate the United States, or who at least spew hate anyway, and Charlie Rose is talking to Vladimir Putin. Russia has announced naval drills in the Mediterranean. And in the meantime, how about this? Russian fighter jets went into Syria with transponders off. We knew that this was happening, of course, that they've got two military bases, etc. But they turned off their transponders when they flew into Syria to try to avoid detection. They flew close to a transport plane that had its transponder on and functioning. So, you know, you get the pinging, you know what's happening. I mean, is Putin an antagonist or what? And look for more of the same to happen, because there's no ISIS fighters in the area where they were. So now there's questions about what is Russia's intentions. Let's see what Charlie Rose gets out of this, what Putin tells him. So this is with all the whole military buildup over there, and we should question the purpose of what's happening, because there's a likelihood that the Russian plan is, of course, to prop up Bashar al-Assad, the Syrian president, rather than go after ISIS. Rather than do that, there was a little bit of a press conference situation today where the State Department, or actually the Pentagon, answered back saying it's a matter of seeing what the Russians do. It's a matter of pouring gasoline on civil war in Syria, but is it really productive from, you know, our point of view? I would have to say, and the Pentagon is agreeing on that, Russia is an antagonist, and we're constantly in that position. We'll see what they're doing. We'll see where they're going. Why did they turn off their transponders? How dangerous. Here's a question to ask. How dangerous? This is a serious question. Because we're always talking about ISIS. We're talking about what's going on in the quicksand of the Middle East. How about this? How dangerous is Russia to us? How dangerous is it when we see these Russian planes that are pretty darn close to us? How dangerous is Russia to us? If we go back in our history, certainly Russia has been dangerous to us. But then there was the Gorbachev tear that wall down thing and the big changes that have happened in the Soviet Union. But the changes in leadership have happened along the way, and the relationships have cooled and changed and morphed into something completely different. I think it's a pretty sneaky pool. And there's no explanation for why that happened. And I think there's other things that the Russians are doing that give me reason to say, hey, wait a second. Who's controlling the pieces on the chessboard? And why do we care? Because, of course, we care. It would be ignorant to think, let's sing Kumbaya, everything's groovy, and let's get rid of our missile defense systems and guards and chunk down our nukes and trust that everything's okay. It's like the situation with Iran. If you had to make a list, who's on the top of that enemies list, would you put Russia in your top five? 855-266-5283. I'm going to flip you the number again. 855-266-5283. It would make my top five, that's for sure. And I think the United States, as far as being the greatest country on the face of the earth and having the biggest, baddest army and being the nation's policeman, there's a reason for that. And there were good reasons why that mattered so much, because the fear, walk softly, carry a big stick, right? You remember that famous quote. How important is that when it comes to what's happening off of our shores? And, you know, you get mixed conversation. And while I think we can't be involved in everything that happens off of our turf, we certainly have to be aware. And especially, as Sun Tzu would say, in The Art of War, it's important to keep those enemies close and maybe the friends even just a tad closer, not to try to create a problem, not to build some kind of an invisible wall, but to make sure that others outside of the United States realize, don't try to puncture us, don't try to bully us, because we will not back down. That's important. No matter who holds the office of the president, I don't care what label they wear, independent, Democrat, Republican. We have three branches of government, thank goodness, for supposed checks and balances, right? And I think this is something we need to check. How are we viewed in the eyes of the rest of the world? And I think Putin could care less. I think he could kick sand in our face every single day and still feel safe and okay about it. When we come back, more on what the Pope had to say and some other odds and ends on the day. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, my name is Scott Fuchs, teacher and rowing coach for over 14 years. I was sluggish, overweight, on prescription drugs, and only 30-something. Fortunately, I was referred to Dr. Z, and happy to say Dr. Z's all-natural protocols over a consistent course resolved my health issues. I'm in the best shape of my life, and most importantly, on zero medications.
I'm Dr. Zdanowski, author of Evology. Trained as a primary care physician, surgical manipulation under anesthesia, expert in nutrition, diet, weight loss, immune system, and I specialize in chiropractic. My 15 years of professional experience has taught me the four keys to vibrant health: a balanced musculoskeletal system, an integrated nervous system, a flowing lymphatic system, and a body filled with over 90 essential nutrients. This has been a secret too long. Actualize your potential, reverse disease. Call me, Dr. Z, 201-945-1177, 201-945-1177, evolveyourself.com.
Okay, open your mouth and say, ah.
When your child has a sore throat, you need to know when to get help. The doctor-recommended Say Aw Sore Throat Exam is your solution. The scientifically designed oral retractor offers a clear view of the throat, relaxing the tongue and minimizing gag reflex. Compare with a medical-grade chart, website, and app. Then you'll know just what to tell your doctor. A wellness plan in your hands in minutes. Go to SayAhNow.com. SayAhNow.com, the new mainstay for every family's first aid kit.
Hi, this is Walt Augustinowitz. I'm the founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. By now you've heard our commercials about wallets that protect you from electronic pickpocketing. 10 years ago, I created a way to protect my own cards from prying eyes after government officials started talking about issuing a national ID card with a built-in radio chip called RFID. I felt having to broadcast my personal information was an invasion of privacy. Soon after, it was also announced that credit cards, debit cards, U.S. passports, hotel room keys, and even transit passes would all soon incorporate RFID. It was then I formed ID Stronghold to share my inventions in blocking RFID signals with the world. There are a lot of misconceptions out there today about RFID. I encourage everyone to get informed and get protected. Please go to IDStronghold.com and get the facts and the wallet, sleeves, or badge holders you need to protect your personal financial data. You'll be pleasantly surprised that through our direct sales model, you won't pay more than other comparable unprotected wallets. It is as though the protection is free. Visit IDStronghold.com today.
Healthy, organic, fresh fish, robust, mouth-watering vegetables, all from your home. It's called aquaponics. This brilliant, self-sustaining protein and veggie system is perfect for year-round growing. Know exactly where your food is coming from. AquaponicsSource.com is the one-stop shop for all your needs. Fish, fish food, plumbing, full systems, classes, and more. Learn to build your own system. Go to AquaponicsSource.com for a free guide to aquaponics. That's AquaponicsSource.com.
Testing, testing, testing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Testing. Yes. You can't turn me off. Can you? You've got to listen to me now.
Am I?
I think by now everybody knows how passionate I feel about space exploration for a multitude of reasons. We've had him on a bunch, and he's always fun to talk to, and I am passionate, really, about this program, this idea of going to Mars for sure, not making an idea, making it a reality. Chris Carberry joins us now with Explore Mars. You can go to exploremars.org. He is the CEO. Hey, Chris, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you? Thanks for having me on again.
I'm excellent. And, you know, we're thick into this political season that seems to never end. And it's an interesting question, and you wrote about it. And we're going to talk about The Martian, the movie coming up, and all that kind of stuff. But how are the politicians, because I haven't even paid attention to this. I've paid attention to what some of what they're saying, but I guess I have a hard time finding it because they don't talk about it very much. But where do the politicians stand when it comes to the exploration of Mars and just space in general?
In general, you know, we've heard a few of the candidates have been asked about, you know, whether they support human missions to Mars or space exploration in general. And a number of them have given broad answers saying they're supportive, or others have been skeptical. And so it's hard to really differentiate at this point in time. It's early on in the campaign, even though it seems like it's been going on forever. You know, we still are pretty early on. But, you know, it is our hope. We're going to be speaking to all the candidates. Make sure, you know, I think the key thing is making sure they have all the facts. And I think that's the biggest obstacle to us actually achieving the goal of getting humans to Mars is making sure, you know, our elected officials and the general public understand the facts that we can actually afford this. This wouldn't require major increases in the NASA budget. And technologically speaking, we can get this done. But we need political sustainability. We need to make sure when the next president comes in, they don't all of a sudden hit the reset button again and we kind of scratch everything we've been working on and start something new. So we have to show them we have a good policy in place, but it still needs to be fleshed out. We still need to make sure we fill in all these gaps to show how we're actually going to achieve this exciting goal.
Yeah, and well said. How do we achieve it? Now, in the area of trying to achieve it, there's some big moments coming up, actually, for NASA. One of the ideas is figuring out, you know, where, what the mission's going to look like. In other words, landing spots. There's a workshop about that at NASA. Explain that. I didn't realize this was coming up.
Yeah, this is very exciting, and this is the first time they've ever officially done this, as far as I know, actually having a workshop, bringing in folks from the space community, but also broadening it beyond there to talk about when we land on Mars, where would be the ideal locations to land humans, you know, and talking about a whole bunch of issues, because there are a lot of issues, you know, places where, of course, it's safer than the land. We can't land them in the middle of a canyon, but also where it's close enough to scientific interesting locations, you know, to kind of be able to figure out, look at the geology, look at the potential for past or present life, but also, very important, you know, try to figure out if people can actually live on Mars for any extended period of time. So all these factors are going to come into play with, as we're at this workshop, trying to figure out maybe the top 10 candidates, you know, right now. And it's important, even though human missions to Mars might be 20 years off, it's actually not too early, because as we kind of settle on this list, you know, NASA and other players are going to want to look at, so, okay, based on this list, what do we need to be doing with our architecture, but also with precursor science missions, you know, so it'll help us direct a lot of the missions coming up to really focus it towards, you know, these landing sites and what we need to do, what we need to understand. So it should be very interesting, and it, once again, it's a first, as far as I know, at NASA.
Yeah, and so if all this comes together, let's say in the perfect world, when could we possibly see these missions happening? Like 2030 sometime in those years? Or what does it look like?
Yeah, most thinking these days is that we will land in the 2030s. You know, we've been pushing, mm-hmm. Explore Mars has been pushing to get it done by the early 2030s. But, you know, we've heard a number of different concepts of landing in the mid to late 2030s. But the longer we push it off, I think, is less likely we're actually going to achieve it, because that's an awful long time to keep a program going. So I think if we need to push a little harder, get a little more urgency in this planning to find a way to speed it up a bit so it's no later than the early 2030s. But generally speaking, most plans are thinking in that time frame right now.
Yeah, how much we finally have this happening now. The Martian is coming up, and it's going to be in theaters next week. And so I would assume that that's also going to help fuel the fires, fan the flames, if you will, help for this whole idea of Mars and making it a reality. Do you feel that way?
I do. You know, it's just a movie, so I don't want to push it too far. You know, it is a piece of science fiction, so none of us will say that the movie The Martian is going to get us actually motivate our mission to Mars, but it's a great opportunity to open this discussion at a very pivotal time. And unlike, I have never seen any movie get the support from NASA that this movie is getting, because unlike previous movies, which were actually far more far-fetched, this one's also aligns very well with our current space policy, which is to get humans to Mars. So I think it's a great chance to look at it and talk about, you know, what the realistic possibilities of achieving this mission, because this is an achievable goal. Hopefully we won't strand an astronaut on Mars like in The Martian, but, you know, the overall mission concepts are actually much more realistic than many, many previous space movies we've seen in the past.
Yeah, no kidding. The you know, it's interesting. I don't know if we've ever had this discussion, maybe when we first talked, but what fuels your passion for Mars?
You know, there are a lot of things, but, you know, interestingly, of course, I'm excited about the science, figuring out if there's ever been past or present life there, and whether we can have humans there. But one of the things that actually has driven me even more so is the ability for the space program, particularly going to Mars, to inspire the public, to raise our national morale. We've had a national morale problem for the last few years in the country. People think that we're falling behind, that, you know, other countries are passing us by. But I think this is one of the things we can do. It's not a huge percentage of the federal budget that can really, if we do it right, can just inspire the country, boost our national morale, and that's not just important for space exploration. That can affect our economy, our overall national, you know, morale, how we feel about ourselves. Anybody watching the stock market knows, you know, the economy and the stock market are largely based on psychology, how we feel about the country and the direction we're going. So I think it has the power to, if we do it right, have a much more dramatic impact on the country than just, you know, just going to Mars and exploring, which are also important in themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. So I was thinking about this the other day, too, as I've met plenty of astronauts in my life. The astronauts that would be on these Mars missions, we haven't met them yet, maybe, right?
No, we haven't met them, but they are probably alive today. That's one of the exciting things. We kind of call, and there's a new group called this also, but we call them the Mars Generation. The people who are going to walk on Mars are almost certainly walking around now. They probably are actually in school, you know, right now. But they're, you know, they're here on this Earth in all probability. You know, we'll probably, there might be some that are actually at NASA now, but they, by the time we get there in 20 years or so, they're going to be, you know, quite a bit older. But, but we probably haven't met them yet.
Yeah, I think it's just so fascinating to me, the whole idea of when this is going to happen and all of that. One last one, Chris, because this is always intriguing to me. Unfortunately, you know, we would have had this happen in the 80s, and who knows how many people would have been able to do it, but taking civilians and taking them up in the space program, you think that we're going to realize that in our lifetime?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Maybe not with the space program itself, but with all these commercial players. It's been a little slower than everybody would have preferred. And maybe back in the 80s when they were talking about having, you know, tourism on the space shuttle, that was a little bit too ambitious. But there are numerous companies out there right now that are trying to start space tourism. And while it's been taking a lot longer than they had hoped and we'd all hoped, I think we're finally going to get there this decade. So I think it'll start growing, and the price will come down as they perfect the technology and they get more demand. So I think we'll all have some interesting prospects for going up into space in the next 10 to 20 years.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's going to be fun to watch how that all unfolds. All right, so check it out, exploremars.org. CEO Chris Carberry, thanks so much, as always, for coming on America Tonight.
Well, thanks for having me on again.
And one to ZK. Now you know we're completed. The couple companies successfully starting rocket motors to continue flight over Earth. Next step, Mars. 35 million miles.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.